So welcome, Malcolm, and it's nice to see you here again at Christie Walk, where I live, which is on unceded Kaurna land. You've got a few things that you'd like to say. Would you like to just introduce yourself and say what some of those things are?
Thanks for that. Well, I suppose the thing that's brought me here to chat, working with the Progressive Australia movement, we have a website which outlines our overall policies, but to say in a word, we're looking, of course, at environmental concerns, then considerations of national identity that come up, ethics in government, and society building, and a fair economy. So each of those points has a lot of work.
It's all
demanding our attention.
Big stuff. It's all it's all things that our nation should be addressing right now.
That's the idea, that it is trying to cover the big picture, and would expect that if we can make a real engagement with people on Progressive Australia movement, that in the course of a decade or two, it might make significant impact. That's our hope.
When we were chatting before, you were saying that you think that we, being sort of a global we, I'm assuming, is about to hit a wall?
Yes. The picture of decline of lifestyle, shall we say, for the whole planet is right in front of us, and serious analysts of this, you know, they're readily available to take a measure of how we can take the case of accommodating climate change. The first thing to be done, of course, is to go to renewable energy. Now, to do the renewable energy picture requires technological changes. Now, more than one of the serious commentators and analysts in this realm is saying, easy to say, and we can do something significant in the course of the next few years, but the picture of actually going wholly, fully to renewables we do not have technical capacity to do it. And this is the brick wall, that the materials required to do the new technology, they rely on minerals. Those minerals are hitting themselves a brick wall. So I know that copper was one of the things that got a mention, that our resources of copper available through recycling and potential in mines and in the ground, it's looking like it's enough to do about half of what we need. But what do we do beyond that? So while people readily speak of, and of course we urgently do this as best we can, to change over to renewables, but at the same time, the picture of actually finding a solution in that direction, it's not available by our current, you know, by the analysis of what we're currently pursuing. So there's other things that need doing, and we've got some direction ideas about that.
So they're doable.
The renewable story alone, it sounds like it's not doable.
Right.
But solving climate change, solving the climate issue, maybe it is doable. The thing that, I suppose it's like saying the ideal that people are pursuing in the realm of just going to renewables, they're saying, let's please keep our current lifestyle going just as is, and we'll find new ways to generate energy. Well, I think the picture, the reality we're going to come to is that that is not doable. Maybe, as I see it, even big city life comes into question. So what are we talking about? I characterise the change that's required, localisation of the economy. What's that mean? Well, all of those, over the last 30, 40 years, we've run our economies on globalisation. We used to have steelworks in Whyalla. There's no longer a steelworks in Whyalla because why? We just buy it from China. So that's globalisation, and we're going to have to undo globalisation. Means in some ways we'll have to reinvent local economy, and it might be that steelworks come back to Whyalla, I don't know. What I'm more confident to say is that wherever we're living, we have to be able to look to our basic essentials, food, clothing, shelter, and throw in their education and medical care, has to be all available from a local source, a local environment, which is more easily imagined in some contexts than in others. I was at Wollonga a week ago, and to look at the Wollonga environment, it has such potential to be able to be self-sufficient as a community. So that might be sort of a picture of towns outside of the city that can do this more easily. I think of Port Lincoln has been well set to do that, and I wouldn't be surprised that they're in pretty good shape anyway, because they are a big enough community that they can have a range of expertise there, but small enough community so that things can be local, and that interpersonal factor works nicely in that sort of context.
So are you talking self-sufficiency?
Yes, somewhat self-sufficiency, and I don't think we should kind of think of it as being lock the gate, we're just going to be self-sufficient here, no one else comes in and goes out, or something like that. Not that kind of idea, but rather that whatever is doable as a local economy should be done. So where I live in southern suburbs of Adelaide, you know, as I do my gardening, I think of what kind of produce is going to be easy to do in Adelaide. And clearly some things won't do so easily. It's going to be hard to look after what pawpaws from an Adelaide source, but it won't be hard to look after lemons. Anyway, so go to citrus and you might say, can we grow oranges? At the moment, we'll lean on the riverland. Maybe in future we'll say, well, we can do a bit of this ourselves as well on a more local basis. But getting our fruit, getting our supplies from the riverlands, not such a disaster as so much of the production that production and consumption that we are doing at the moment. As you just walk around a supermarket and look at the shelves and what's been produced, grown, packaged, etc., and you'll see reference to things that are produced in New Zealand and packaged in China and, you know, here, available here. So this huge kind of a leaning on this importation, exportation and transport. Now, talk transport, talk climate change again. The second biggest contributor to our carbon impacts is from transport. First one being power supply. So we're busy changing our carbon-based power supplies over to renewables. So that's one item. Second item is transport. As I look out over the sea from my place in southern Adelaide, I see all those boats that are making their way from Asia and elsewhere into Port Adelaide. And there's any day I can see four or five of them, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's 10 or 20 of them.
But every day?
Yeah. I can stand there at Halakau, and I can see four or five right there in front of my eyes. So if there's four or five at that moment there, I imagine there's a whole lot more. Yeah, this is all available, no doubt, with a bit of research, but I haven't pursued that, looking for other people to get involved so we can do that research and, you know, build this case. I feel like philosophically this is we've got a strong case and it just needs to be fleshed out, and there's a lot of work to do in fleshing it out.
So where would you like Progressive Australia to go?
We want to take over the world. No, we'll be happy to take over Australia. You know? it's not that we would want to own a transition like that and say, you know, we'll carry the flag, you come with us and we'll turn Australia upside down and make a new... Not like that, but rather just put the idea out there, popularise the idea so that people everywhere from all directions see the validity and work towards it. At the moment, of course, we see our two-party system and we think that we're pretty almost bound down to two, and these days we might concede that the Greens are making a good stance, and so there's a third option happening there as well. I'd have to say that the Greens' picture is a much more friendly one to my eyes than the other two. I think we're saying that it's not just a matter of how politics unfolds. People, as I speak about Pan Progressive Australia Movement, people will say to me, you know, what are you going to stand for government? Are you going to, you know, what policies are you going to put out there? And I'm thinking that our primary way of action is not through politics directly at all. And that's where I, in fact, come back to that point that this thing of localising the economy, that's not a matter of politics, that's a matter of people's participation and getting on with the job. I think that that can be done. Of course, there's going to be political action seeing and participating in and so on and so on. But, the directly manifesting of an economic a way of running an economy, that's the most crucial aspect I'm seeing.
Do you see a means by which any of this can happen? Is it if we move away from politics, we need to have some other way, some other collective.
Yeah. Yes, just how it can manifest, I'm not sure. And I'd have to say that the people who I'm working with to Peace Progressive Australia Movement together, we're a bit academic, and it's going to be crucial to find people who are really hands-on people who are good at community organising and economic organising and putting the show on the road. Yeah.
What do you think about the concept of citizens' assemblies?
People speak of them. I'd have to say I haven't gone strongly in that direction. I'm not against it. I can't say that. But I suppose I'm saying, and this is not through good analysis, this is just through intuition. I'm just thinking that I suspect it's not a full answer. So it'll be part of the unfolding. So one of the things that a citizens assembly is that you've kind of creating local engagement, and that is very much important thing to be happening. That's like, yeah, very much part of the change, the kind of direction that has to come out.
So yeah. The word that's used, and it's bandied around a lot, is participatory democracy, and people in councils use that terminology.
Yes.
But it's not true.
Right.
It's not participatory at all.
Yes.
If you say to people, have your say, and you have your say and nothing happens from it, that's
right.
Not participation.
Yes. I have put them on the spot, but my local council created an engagement with, you know, I don't know what they called us, but some sort of leadership group or something from the community. They ended up just throwing us questionnaires as to how we rate the importance of various issues and so on. So it's not like a really an engaging thing where you're speaking your piece. It's just like, what do you think of this one issue, where you've got a choice of three or four options, which way would you go?
Mm.
And, you know, what I'm saying is that I don't think this piecemeal approach is going to be an answer for us. That we're going to hit some serious problems, and we're going to have to be very inventive at that, on the spot, to come up with answers for the problems that emerge. We have a website, and the website is progressiveaustralia.org.au, and the Facebook group is not just Progressive Australia Movement, but PAM, Progressive Australia Movement. And the reason for that is that the first Facebook group which formed was just in the name, Progressive Australia Movement. We made it as a private group, and as such, it can't be accessed by people generally. So that's like a mistake. So we had to make a new one, and the new one we made with the name PAM, Progressive Australia Movement. It's only been going for a couple of weeks, but there's some engagement there and some new people coming on board with it, so it's feeling like it's useful, viable, and he's hoping we'll do something more with it. Maybe your listeners might like to jump on board too.
Well, thank you, and I'd like to think that you could perhaps follow up another time with some projections on where to from here.
Yes, yes. All right, so I put my mind to such things.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.